Wafting across the pastoral lakeside vistas of the new basement studios, this is the Atlantic Voice Podcast, 3,000 miles of opinion.
This is Atlantic Voice Podcast. I'm Zeph.
And I'm Eric.
This is part two of our summer preview.
Blockbuster movie previews trailer thing.
And we've been more organized this year than last year, because I think last year we just sort of randomly just sort of...
Well, we tried to group things last year, where we like were, these are the blockbusters and these are the more whatever it was. And this one, we're just doing it on a calendar basis. It's a lot more systematic.
So again, for those of you that haven't heard part one, we are using Entertainment Weekly's Summer Movie Preview as our guide, not necessarily opinions, but just in terms of chronologically. We're giving them a shout out because we're following through their movie preview in terms of talking movies. If you didn't know that, it means you didn't listen to part one. Please go back and listen to part one.
Yeah, but you don't have to do it first, because we're just going through the movies in order. I mean, I guess we might make some allusions to the stuff from before, but I think you could listen to this and then go back.
Well, no, but what I'm saying is, if you haven't heard part one, go back and listen to part one.
It could be after you listen to this part, though.
Oh, yeah.
They don't have to hit pause now and go back.
Okay.
Next movie,
we're into July.
One of the things we're doing, if you haven't listened to part one, is we're giving things thumbs up, thumbs down, expectations in terms of critical and financial success.
Which to me is more than a thumbs up, thumbs down. I remember those two Joes, both of them have passed away. Well, no, the third guy who replaced the first guy, he's still alive. To me, the whole notion of I give the movie a thumbs up and I give the movies a thumb down, that is very lazy, and any moron can do that. Anyone can go, yeah, I'm giving it a thumbs up. Our rankings are, is this going to be critically acclaimed? Is this going to make money?
Saying yes or no. We're not being like you tried to get away with, this will be okay with the critics. No. We're going to say critics good, critics bad, financial good, financial bad.
What I'm trying to say is, here on the Atlantic Voice Podcast, you get more than just I'm giving that a thumbs up. You get some real analysis. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. All right. Next movie is going to be, I think, a pretty easy one to give a hard time to. This is another one that I kind of want to play the preview mostly just because it's just kind of stereotypical.
All right.
It does have a lot of that Christopher Nolan stuff, right?
Yeah.
Noise.
No matter how far you go, man cannot escape his fate. Who are you? Are you a murderer? Are you a mercenary who turns his back on the innocent? We believe in you. We have faith in you.
So, just in the first couple of moments, people can't see this, but there was a three-headed wolf,
remember,
and that was a three-headed serpent.
That
was a really oversized lion. Now he's wearing the oversized lion as a hat.
Are you only the legend, or are you the truth? Behind the legend. Now, tell me, who
a giant boar.
I am Hercules!
That's a very 80s looking kind of graphic there.
Yeah. Like Conan. So that was Hercules with, what's his name?
The Rock. Dwayne Johnson.
Who... I want to say this before I slam this movie. I like Dwayne Johnson's cinematic persona a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I find him very easy to watch. He's got a good... every role he has, he does this very difficult skill of sort of playing against him. He knows that you know who he is in terms of he's this big, muscly guy. And he does a great job of sort of playing off that for the right effect at the right time.
It's like Wayne.
Yeah, maybe. I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, it's a parallel to it. John Wayne brought John Wayne to every role he did, so he brings The Rock.
And he knows it, and he does it well in action films. He plays off it well. And in comedies, he makes fun of himself well. And I give Dwayne Johnson his due. He's also done kids' movies. All things considered, he's not done a romantic comedy. And he's not done a kitchen sink drama, but all things considered, he's not bad.
I don't begrudge him. They probably make a decent living off of this, but it does look horrible.
But Hercules, again, this is one of those films, who cares?
I pointed out the graphics at the end of the trailer. It shows, it just says the word Hercules, but it literally looks like that kind of
Zorro-y
flame graphics that was like big in 1986 or 7 or something like that.
What was the movie that
purposefully retro?
What was the movie that came out last year that just bombed completely? And it was like the most expensive movie ever made. Disney made it, and it's about the guy from the future who ends up. Oh, what was it called? John Carter.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The one where he goes to Mars or something like that.
Yeah, it was very, very confusing.
Yeah.
And that movie did like $3.5. I mean, it just
But that didn't have a star. Like, I do think this does have the potential to be financially successful.
No.
I think a lot of people. It reminds me a little bit of like the Sparta movie or the 300, except that they haven't like changed. The video just looks like normal video. It doesn't look like it's all been touched up.
Didn't the second 300 movie tank?
The one with the woman from.
James Bond.
Game of Thrones. Cersei.
No, yeah. I don't know.
Lena Headley.
Who's in it. Lena. Yeah, didn't that thing tank?
I don't know.
The Hercules tanks.
All right. I'm going to say Hercules, financially successful, critically horrible.
Successful, critically horrible. Yeah. I'm just going to put double tank.
You're so bad with acronyms. Like, there's no way you're going to be able to figure out what these notes say. You've literally changed your method of noting what was simply a yes or no on two categories. There's like 8 different acronyms and symbols you've put into this.
You may not be able to decipher them, but at the end of the summer,
this is so that you can just like the last year you can spin it. You know,
when we're totaling up the scores, let me tell you something. I'm going to do all right. Next movie. What do we have here?
You're in the wrong place.
I'm in the wrong place. Sorry. I am. Have I jumped months?
Before we go to another. Maybe
you're the one who's in the wrong place.
Did I jump too far?
You've jumped to August.
I'm in July.
Month.
That's July right there.
Yeah, but the end of July. Does that mean we don't want to see anything else?
There was one we missed in mid July. Although it's basically the same date. Okay, hold on a second. I got another clip here.
What do you have queued up there?
This one, which is really kind of confusing.
What's that line from the Tom Cruise movie where he ends up? Tech support. Right, what's it called? The one with him and Penelope Cruz. And he's in a coma the whole time.
No matter who or what he is.
Magnolia?
No. It'll come back to me.
He's after all bounty.
Make sure this is the right one.
It's her.
Good. Kill her.
Channing Tatum.
Who are you? Gameless. I'm here to help you.
Crystal Sky. I'm still thinking about the Tom Cruise movie.
Well, get focused.
Sorry. Vanilla Sky.
No Vanilla Sky.
No, I know what it is. Yeah. Sorry.
War with some of the most powerful dynasties in the universe.
And that guy, I forget, that guy's been in a bunch of things.
You are royalty. Your Majesty.
You are in for a surprise.
Mila Kunis.
And you find out what I do for a living.
It's not what you do. It's what you are.
And that's Sean Bean, also formerly of TV show I mentioned before. From the creators of The Matrix, the
Wachowski brothers.
Well, formerly brothers, now brother-sister.
What? Is one of them a woman? Part of a
very large industry.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's why it's Lannis. Yeah, one of them had... gender change. I don't know if they had the surgery, but they're transgendered.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I did not know that.
Yeah.
I did not know that. So the sibling team of the Wachowskis, is actually correct whether you're watching The Matrix or this one, if you refer to them as sibling director.
I think, did we even mention it? Jupiter Ascending.
I'd never heard of this movie.
Which I think is, there's some Jupiter pictures in there, but it's her name in the movie, I think, is Jupiter. I don't know. This must be based on a comic.
I don't know. I don't know if it's a comic. I don't know if it's original.
Planet hopping sci-fi romance action.
Oops. No, they've. I think
so. Maybe they wrote it.
I think it's an original production.
So it's really confusing. She's on Earth. She thinks she's an Earthling. She's some sort of queen from another planet. Channing Tatum is this person from another planet. He's sort of furry a little bit. He looks like him, but he's a little bit furry, and he's got these shoes that float himself all over the place. And who knows? It looks complicated.
It does look complicated. It feels like a cross between The Matrix and then what was that film that came out a couple of years ago with Tom Hanks? And it was all the different stories. It was based on a bestseller
book. I saw that finally recently.
What's it called? and it's different stories, yeah, and they're all sort of linked.
They're overlapping, and it's like all about, yeah, a piece of music, and the piece of music, yeah, is the title of it. What is it?
I can't remember. But anyway, I didn't know anything about this film until I saw in an article on a website where they were doing their own summer preview. And everyone kept saying that this was going to, all these different writers and critics were all circling this movie as the bomb of the summer. Mm-hmm. And so I looked it up and I'm like, ooh, we need to talk about this because I'd never heard about it.
Yeah. I understand why people would look at it and assume it's going to bomb. It's really kind of hard to get your hands around what it is. Like, oh, is it a superhero movie? Not really. What is it? You know, that kind of thing.
Which in the summertime is that then you are on the road to bombing.
Well,
because I want us to talk. Maybe this would be a good time to talk in general about summer movies this year, the trends. We'll have a serious film discussion here for a few
minutes. Well, let's just talk about Jupiter Ascending for a second. We'll come back to that. I think there's, I wouldn't say it's likely, but it would not be surprising at all to me, given their background on The Matrix and things like that, that once this movie came out, people had much more positive impressions. I think once it gets seen, I mean, that's the, you know, all the previews that people get, you're going to, sure, we'll probably know whether it's going to be a success or not. It could end up being huge because, I mean, Matrix 2 and 3 were not nearly as good as the first one, but the first one was really like amazing visually and all that sort of stuff. And this could turn out to be a big deal. Like I said, I don't think more likely than not. I'm going to predict a double bomb.
I'm predicting double bomb myself too.
Because I think that's more likely than not. But yeah, I do think it would not be like, oh my goodness, I'm totally shocked that people embrace that thing, because it could turn out to be a bigger deal.
I do think, even though none of us know what the source material for this film is, we don't know if it's a book, we don't know if it's a comic book, we don't know if it's a video game, and that maybe is a reflection of us rather than the audience. I do think what it is, though, is it's a film by the sibling team that did The Matrix.
Right.
And just The Matrix, in a weird way, of all the blockbuster films that have come out over the years, that's the only multi-million dollar cult classic.
Right.
In the same way that, you know, The Big Lebowski continues to have people, mm-hmm, going nuts about it. There's a whole load of people who, if you just go by the people that made The Matrix, that's going to get them in the door.
Yeah.
That movie does seem to have that power over its fans. Like the fans, and even you and I have both agreed, and I'm not really a fan of The Matrix, but I'll sit and, if someone says to me, oh, the first Matrix, unbelievable, I'm going to go, yeah, that movie's great. Yeah.
See, that's, you know, thinking about, we were talking about the Tom Cruise thinky sci-fi with action. That's what The Matrix was. Like the first, it was thinky sci-fi, the idea that like, oh, you know, your brain could be somewhere else and everything's an illusion, yeah, and all this sort of stuff that you don't know what's going on. Which,
like Vanessa,
as an aside, I mean, this is a plot we see a lot nowadays, because I think people are struggling with, you know, now getting into sociological type of things of what people are dealing with in their lives and how they deal with it and the feeling that you don't know what's going on half the time. But in any event,
it's another sci-fi movie.
Yeah, well, and that's what we were going to talk about, is there's a lot of, like, it seems like all the blockbusters, that battle one with the, but there's no war movies, there's no
cop movies.
Yeah, that's right, there's no, like,
there's not a single cop
lethal
movie,
weapon-y type thing, there is not, or something like that.
I don't think there is a single all-out cop movie this summer.
Right.
And every summer someone finds, well, let's put a buddy movie in, yeah, or a so-and-so, you know.
Because you can do explosions with regular stuff. It's like all the explosions have to have, and I think probably some of that is like the effects have become a thing in themselves, and if you don't have the big effects, what's the point? And the only way you can have the kind of effects that like sort of make the roller coaster bigger, yeah, is it through sci-fi.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it is interesting.
There's no blow up the White House movies, like, no, those kind of things.
This is very much
terrorist movies.
This is a sci-fi summer this year. There really is there's very little else. Now, I know there's always sci-fi every summer, but then there's also, and I think, and I want to sort of give, you know, Christopher Nolan's Batman movies, they're sort of the exception that proves the rule. While they are at their heart comic strip movies, they're comic books.
Yeah,
they're based on the comic strip Batman. Batman as a character has sort of transcended his comic book roots. So what I'm saying is, you know, you don't have to read. Whereas I think X-Men, which we talked about last show, X-Men, most of the 80% of the fans going in to see that have come there via the comic books. Whereas I think Batman, no, everyone goes to see Batman whether you've read the comic books or not. I do think, you know, comic books have sort of become the default source material now. And by extension, because comic books, you can do things that you know, they told stories that were always sort of otherworldly.
Right. This is what I'm about to say is they're not all, some of them are sci-fi, but a lot of them aren't really classically sci-fi, but they have those elements of
they're sort of supernatural, hyper-realistic. They're not grounded in reality.
Right.
And so I think what now happens is, since comic books have become such a big part of the movie place, we actually get to the point where you end up with a summer of nothing but sci-fi.
Yeah.
You're right. There isn't, in terms of the wide demographic, big franchise pictures, there's not a spy movie in here. There's not a cop movie in here. Remember, the original...
This one's a little bit spy-ish.
But that isn't... The next film that we're going to talk about isn't... Yeah. They're not setting out to make $300 million with this next film. The one we're going to talk about, you were pointing to right there.
Yeah, I don't know. A Most Wanted Man with Philip Seymour Hoffman.
It's a John Le Carre story. Yeah. It's like it's obviously a riff on Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, which was a great movie from a couple of years ago. But that's an adult thriller. But what I'm saying is the financial expectations for that film are very different than the financial expectations.
But I bet you whatever they are, they're going to exceed it because of it being his last movie, really.
Sure.
Anyway,
yeah.
So talk about movies, you know, in terms of sequels, we have The Purge: Anarchy.
Yeah, that was a movie I shouted out last year.
Yeah, and how'd that do?
I don't know. I never saw it.
Yeah.
And I think it bombed. I never went to see it, but clearly...
I guess it didn't bomb so badly that it isn't back, although there's no stars in it this time around, because last time it was, wasn't it James
Ethan
Franco?
Ethan Hawke,
okay.
Let me say this.
I'll let you say whatever you want to say.
We've been very critical of my rankings.
Mm-hmm.
Last year I said The Purge hit of the summer, sleeper hit of the summer. Now, I never went to see it. It didn't make any money. But the fact that they've made a sequel, not 2 years later, not 3 years later, but 1 year later, has now proved, in hindsight, that I was correct. I rest my case.
Go ahead. Rest it away.
McMahon, cue the music.
Next movie. Also, I mean, I feel weird saying,
Purge
Anarchy. As long as we're talking about sequels, but of course everything's a sequel now, so it doesn't really mean much. But let's try this one here. Most of the trailers for this, as you observed, don't have any words in them. This one has some, so...
We've been through hell together. We spent 4 years...
Gary Oldham.
4 years! Fighting the virus, and then another 4 fighting each other. It was chaos.
I don't know who invented that particular thing, but they make a lot of money.
If they've patented it,
yeah. You all know what we're up against.
I need to speak to Caesar!
It's another near future movie, right? Because it's not...
It's sci-fi.
But it's not space sci-fi.
It's not space sci-fi.
Like post-apocalyptic by 10 years kind of thing.
It's about giving us the hope to rebuild and reclaim the world we lost.
Officially, if people haven't already figured out, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. So no more James Franco.
I think. Oh, he's not in this one?
No. I think he passed away at the end of the movie, didn't he?
Oh, he did. I didn't see that last one. I'm completely... We've had a long discussion before about the Planet of the Apes franchise. It is reboot, rehash, remake, retread, all thrown into one. I have no idea where we are right now. I didn't see the last one, which was... What was the last
Rise
one? The one with
Planet
Rise
Apes.
Of the Planet Apes. You said it was actually quite good. I think you saw it, didn't you?
Yeah.
I didn't see it. I never really fell in love. I wanted to fall in love with the first remake, the Tim Burton remake of the original. And I remember being hyped up for that and kind of being disappointed by the time I left. I will still watch the Charlton Heston one and the second one where Charlton Heston appears halfway through the movie. I still think they're great. I haven't really taken an interest in the Planet of the Apes franchise. But you did say the last one was good.
Yeah.
I will defer the floor to you now for Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
We got Andy Serkis again, who, you know, he's the guy who does the motion capture for Gollum and everything else. He does the Caesar, because I think every single ape in this is computer generated. I don't think they have any live stuff.
Well, there's a very small sort of talent pool of acting apes right now in Hollywood. You know,
it's not that small. You know,
I know a couple of apes who tried to get into the latest you know, Clint Eastwood comedy, but they got turned down.
So I think it'll be interesting. I mean, it's a fun adventure movie. I think I couldn't quite tell what the plot is. Like, it's definitely supposed to be like when most of Earth has been wiped out by some virus.
It's continuing.
So now the apes can now take over what's left, and it's this. Gary Oldman is defending, you know, a stronghold left up of people. Of course, it seems to me if really most of the people wiped out, why would the apes bother chasing down the last bunch of people? Why could they just go all the empty spaces that are available at that point?
I don't know.
But yeah, it should be fun.
So what's that mean? I'm going to actually say that this is going to be critically acclaimed, but
I'm going to say financially well, but I was going to say critically bad.
I don't think it's so critically bad. Wait a minute. Financially well. Critically bad. I'm going to go critically good.
Did you just do FW? Like, do we have yet another acronym? Financially well.
Financially well, yes. That's the first two initials.
We could just use the Y.
Well.
Like we were
and I'm not allowed to go, it will make... I don't think it's going to be a super hit, but it's not going to bomb.
No, it won't
bomb. And I'm not allowed... Apparently, I'm not allowed to say that. You've hammered me about... Oh, you could
have... No, well, you have to pick
other.
Which side.
Well, I am. I'm picking...
See, the problem is you're saying bomb. Bomb, it doesn't have to bomb. It just has to be... worse than average on the critic side.
Here's the thing about these, and I want to make a more general comment about these Planet of the Apes movies. They've all done a very good job of...
How do you know you didn't see any of them?
No, but I can sort of tell from reading the write-up. Oh, okay. But what I'm saying is, the very first Planet of the Apes movies has sort of moved into... It's got classic status. You know, Charlton Heston, get your hands off me, you damn dirty ape.
Mm-hmm.
Right at the end when he sees the Statue of Liberty, not a spoiler alert, movie's 50 years old.
Yeah.
When he goes, oh my God, what have we done? Or whatever it may be. All these films do a nice job of, you the viewer know that. And yet they're able to play towards it.
It's called Planet of the Apes. I mean, even if you didn't know that.
I understand. What I'm saying is,
they go off to some other planet.
No, no, but what I mean is that thematically, they use that knowledge that you, the moviegoer, has, and they play with it just right. Whereas I feel, and because my point here, and I know I continually put the boot into the Star Wars prequel trilogy, they really made a hash of that. They really made a hash of, because you know where it ends up.
You know, they announced the new cast for that this
week. Yeah, no, I know. And because, again... The first three movies were
otherwise, great. If it wasn't for these blockbusters, we'd be just talking about Star Wars all day now.
The first three movies were great. Those last three movies sucked. Copyright Atlantic Voice.
Yeah, like the first.
I haven't said that for a while. I needed to say that. What I'm saying is, those last three Star Wars movies, it's all about getting to Darth Vader, and yet they went all over the map to get there. New Planet of the Apes movies, you, the audience, know that somewhere in the future, Charlton Heston is on the sand looking at the Statue of Liberty. That's the big hook for Planet of the Apes. Yet these films have been able to map out their own course without infringing upon that.
That's probably where these are going, isn't it? Like, so we're going to get to the point where all the people are kind of done, and then the next movie is going to be when some time traveler from old Earth comes and arrives there.
Exactly. And they've been able to get away with it, even though it's 40, 50.
We've got like 10 more of these movies
sure.
to come.
Where is it? Well, and you know something? Are you going to go and see Dawn of the Planet of the Apes?
Yeah, probably not. But I'd watch it on.
But you'd watch it on TV. Yeah. So what I'm saying is this has interest for you.
Yeah.
If someone came to me and said, there's another Star Wars prequel, I'm going to go, no, I'm done with Star Wars prequels. Really? Do you see the difference? No, not.
The new one.
Prequel, from before the Death Star.
Yeah.
And that's where those guys really, you know, screwed the pooch. Use that expression.
So next movie. Now we're into August.
Okay, August.
So this movie, I don't know what you're going to say about it, but I'm pretty high on it. I mean, actually, we have to talk over it a little bit because I think
I have no idea.
The leading's kind of slow, but then it has a nice little punchline.
Okay.
Like that. This won't really play that well on the podcast because it sounds very dramatic and it's a dramatic looking scene, but then we have a shift in tone shortly.
I'm going to warn you, you're completely on your own with this.
No! Yeah, hey, cool, man. No problem. No problem at all.
Who are you?
Star-Lord.
Who?
Star-Lord, man. Legendary outlaw. Forget it.
This is a Marvel property, by the way.
Okay. I don't know anything about
these five on Xandar. Check out the rap.
Oh, did you read the part about it, at least?
AKA the Destroyer.
Since his wife, at least you can watch the trailer.
He's been on a rampage across the galaxy in a search for vengeance. Gamora, soldier, assassin, wanted on over a dozen counts of murder. Rocket, wanted
John
on over
C. 50 voice?
Charges of vehicular theft and escape from lockup.
It's a raccoon, being played by Bradley Cooper.
How?
Groot. He's been traveling recently as Rocket's personal houseplant slash muscle.
Played by Vin Diesel.
Okay.
Peter Jason Quill.
Voiced.
He's also known as Star-Lord.
Who calls him that?
Chris Pratt, who we talked about before on the podcast.
Lego Movie.
Parks and Recreation.
Lego Movie.
And Zero Dark Thirty. This guy, I think, is going to turn out to be a big deal.
I didn't know how this machine worked.
We missed a funny joke there, but...
Okay.
Hey, hey, hey. That's mine. You son of a... Hey! Take those headphones off right now!
Can't go wrong with Tom Jones, although I suspect it's not actually in the movie. That was Tom Jones, isn't it?
I don't.
Hooked on a Feeling?
No, I don't think it is. I don't think it
they
is.
They call themselves the Guardians of the Galaxy.
What a bunch of a-holes.
All right, so explain this movie. I've never heard of it
until I read about it, but it's another Marvel comic. It's really out in space. It's a ragtag band of, you know, people who want to be Guardians of the Galaxies, call themselves that, but they're like, you know, ruffians. Chris Pratt plays an Earthling who was abducted from Earth when he was 8 years old and somehow brought into this band of bad guys and things like that, and thieves and things like
that. So it's based on a comic book. All right.
And Gamora is played by Zoe Saldana. There's a little raccoon. Obviously, you couldn't see that. A little raccoon badger thing that's being played by Bradley Cooper. He shoots a machine gun. It's going to have a real, obviously, a comedic element to it.
So like the Avengers? Sort of self-effect.
Do you think Avengers didn't have a... No, that was
but Avengers
was
supposed to be funny and you know, that type of thing. And sort of very self-aware.
I'm trying to think of what other movie this would be. Like, I wanted to say... You know that one where they played the Star Trek things? The guys who were... It was...
Oh, the actors.
Sigourney Weaver. Yeah, they were actors and they go off to space. I mean, not nearly the same plot, but the same sort of...
Funny
comedic adventure shoot 'em up kind of stuff.
Yeah,
I think this is going to be more shoot 'em up-y, you know, kind of thing in it. But it looks pretty funny.
Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm going to make a prediction.
I'm going to say a double thumbs up.
Double thumbs up.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's DTB. DTB.
Yet another acronym.
I base this only from the fact I think this film is actually going to. You know, the trailer seems kind of funny. And it seems like, I laughed a little bit, and there's the talking raccoon.
Chris Pratt is good.
The raccoon with the machine gun. And I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, I kind of like that. I think this movie is going to be critically well acclaimed. I think it is going to bomb at the box office.
Interesting.
The one
problem I don't like about it is that it comes after the Jupiter Rising.
That's what I want to say, whatever it is,
because... It's a little bit weird and twisted and things like that. And people, a lot of times when you have those double movies like that, people don't pay attention to the second one.
And I do want it. Well, that's the old rule. Always go and see the first one because the second one's going to suck. That's the old rule, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's a mistake a lot of times. Turns out the second one's often better.
I also think
examples to cite.
This movie's coming out in August. And I think by the time you get to August, even though we've said that it is a sci-fi summer and that's what the marketplace will bear, I think there's going to be some ennui with
for a comedy, right? Like, so it's almost like it's a spoof at the same time. Like, you're so tired of these ponderous sci-fi movies, and then they come along with sort of lighthearted fare.
Yeah,
that's where I was going to say fare.
Is there any? Because I know we talked before. Is there any more sci-fi we're going to talk about?
Well, it's weird sci-fi. There's two more, a couple of sci-fi. One's technically in the fall, but we're going
to
talk about
it. I'll wrap it all together.
So real quickly, a couple other movies coming out in August. Get On Up, which is the James Brown story, being acted by the guy who was in 42.
Whatever. I don't know. I'm not a baseball
got fan. Dan Aykroyd. I watched the trailer for this. It didn't look very good. It looked like it was a little bit jokey. I don't know. I mean, like, I figured they're after the Ray and Cash, you know, like the movie Ray with
yeah.
And then Johnny Cash movie. Was it called Cash? I can't remember.
No, it was Walk the Line.
Walk the Line, right? Like, so I figured that's what they're after, but it didn't really have – it seemed a little goofy. I don't
see,
know.
See, I'm going to make a comment
about
it. I love James Brown, and I actually think talking about those sort of biopic movies, I actually think that James Brown deserves a movie like Ali than sort of a jokey –
yeah, yeah. Well, that's what I'm worried. Like, watching the preview, I was like, this doesn't look serious. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I misread the preview. Maybe the previews. A lot of times they do those previews and they cut in because they think they know what the audience wants. And then it was kind of like the Monuments Men situation. When that preview first came out, it was comedy. And then the next kind of trailer came out, it was now serious. Also, at the same time, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Don't need to say anything about it other than it has Megan Fox in it. It's almost certainly be horrible.
Did she get traded from Transformers to Teenage Mutant?
She got kicked out of Transformers. Actually, the funny thing is this is.
Out of Transformers,
this is, you know, from Michael Bay, this Ninja Turtles.
Oh, really?
Because one of the quotes in here talks about how, like, she was supposedly didn't get along with them at all, and I think she's just desperate for a living now.
Okay.
I
wouldn't kick her out.
Expendables 3, I guess, is that technically sort of a cop movie? It's an old person cop movie.
It actually is a war movie, but it's an action movie. It is. I gotta say, so I've never seen any of these expendable movies all the way through. They seem to make enough money where they're already talking about online in Expendables 4, and Expendables 3 hasn't even come out. At some moment, I do think part of the attraction is seeing all these guys in one film. But at some moment, doesn't that get old?
You'd think.
Doesn't that get old?
I don't know why those movies would be. They're sort of like built in nostalgia or something, I guess. Although I'm looking at the main actors in this one's Wesley Snipes and
that's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, if it's Wesley
Jason Statham,
that's what I'm saying.
Really should be doing better things.
If it's Wesley Snipes and Jean-Claude Van Damme, who I think he was a baddie when he got caught, then actually it's no longer a nostalgia trip. It's just another one of those crappy B action movies that I know I feasted on a Sunday afternoon. But coming out in the middle of the summer and asking me for $12.95, I will not be going to a theater near you to see The Expendables. There is a couple of other movies. Lucy,
well,
yes.
This one I have a trailer for.
Then let's do it. Let's talk this film.
This is like, it's also the summer of Scarlett Johansson, apparently. Although some of her movies were outside of the summer, but.
What happened? What did you do to my stomach?
What's going on?
We've merely slipped a new package into your lower tummy, and you're going to transport something very special to us.
That note again. I mean, seriously, somebody needs to come up with something else. I don't know if this is supposed to be in the future or not. It looks sort of
near future.
Yeah. So, there's not much more to the trailer, I don't think. Really can't convey.
Hey!
Although she does end up talking here in a second,
You speak English?
Yes.
Take me to the hospital now.
Hospital.
Somebody put a bag of drugs inside me. I need you to take it out. It's leaking.
It is estimated most human beings only use 10% of
the. We won't have to explain the movie because they're actually explaining
the
movie here in the trailer.
Imagine if we can access 100%. Interesting things begin to happen. Yes?
Professor Norman, my name's Lucy. I just read all your research on the human brain. It's a little rudimentary, but you're on the right track.
Thank you.
I have access to 28% of my cerebral capacity.
I can feel every living thing.
Since when did you start writing Chinese?
Since an hour ago.
What happens when she reaches?
What's weird though is,
I have no idea.
So, the premise is she's involuntarily made into a drug mule, but it's some sort of weird brain drug, and it starts leaking inside of her, and now she has superpowers, and she starts off super smart, but the part that's weird is then it's suddenly she's like able to control things and like make things like ESP type stuff. So
there's that film out right now with Johnny Depp called Transcendence.
Yes.
I think it may be out and gone already. When I first saw the trailer for this, I obviously paid attention because it was Scarlett Johansson, obviously, you know. at first I thought, oh, it's some sort of like a, you know, a riff on the sort of Bourne movies. It's done by, I think, the same, is it the same creative team that did Taken and that? I think so, Luc Besson.
Luc Besson did, I think, the Transporter and some of that
Transporter.
Stuff.
So it's that sort of Euro action, lots of very frenetic. And I'm thinking, okay, yeah, this could be
You're
like...
reading right out of the thing, Euro action.
This is there you go. I thought I just made that phrase up. I thought, yes, this could be exciting. And then we have the whole superpowers thing, and we start veering into sci-fi territory. And then when it was finished, I didn't quite know how I felt about it all.
Yeah, I'm a little worried. Like, I like the idea.
It's almost too much idea for one movie.
Yeah, but it does. The trailer makes it look like it goes too far. Like, why not just have her be a superpower, you know, like super, like a Bourne type of person?
Yeah, right.
So why does she have to, like, make your hair change color at will?
Yeah.
That seems a little bit
so
much.
So when the trailer finished, I couldn't decide. So am I watching an action movie, a sci-fi movie, a superhero movie? I didn't know what it was. So then I started getting a bit nervous about it.
Yeah. Anyway, I think it'd be pretty cool. You know, she's in that movie, Under the Skin, right now, the independent movie where...
I haven't seen that. Most of the reviews of that have been like, it's pretty scary and...
Creepy,
and she's terrific, and it's a very sort of minimalist, independent.
I recommend. I suggested going to see that with a member of the household, and they objected to that idea. They heard it was too violent, and it probably is. It's sort of supposed to be sort of creepy, violent, but it does
definitely
seem interesting.
It's a summer of Scarlett Johansson because wasn't she in something else just recently something else?
And she's in
around.
She's in Chef with. We didn't talk about Chef. It's at the beginning of summer. It's with the guy from who wrote Swingers.
Yeah,
Favreau. She's playing, but she's barely in the trailers and things like that. And then so something else. Hey, are we done?
No, you still have one more trailer.
How come I have two trailers? But I don't know when this movie opens up. The next movie I was going to talk about.
Let's do it.
All right.
So, what are you saying for Lucy? Let me go first. Did we do a movie after Galaxy? Or did I just ramble on about something for a few moments?
I think we rambled on about Expendables and things like that. So.
Lucy. Lucy is going to bomb. It's a double bomb.
Really?
Double bomb. I think by the time you get to the end of the summer, because it's August is now, sort of the end of the season. It's a mid-August release. I am not convinced.
It's the 8th, the middle of August?
Okay.
Seems like an early August.
I am not convinced that Scarlett Johansson, I do think, and I don't mean this in any way other than just saying it, I think the bar is slightly higher for female action leads. I think the audience either take to them or they don't. I'm not sure people are ready to take to Scarlett Johansson as an action movie lead.
Sure. And it is
the oddest.
She's got her own movie from the Avengers thing too, right? She's been doing all the action stuff in there.
Yeah, but that's not Scarlett Johansson. That's the character in the Avengers. I mean that, though. In the same way, it doesn't really matter who plays Spider-Man. It's Spider-Man. Yeah. Whoever she's playing in the Avengers, that's who she's playing. Here, this is a Scarlett Johansson movie. I'm not sure a Scarlett Johansson action movie brings in the crowd. I'm just not convinced it's going to bring in the crowd. And I also think by the time you get to the summer, I think by this point in the summer... The critics are starting to get a bit mad at just reviewing the same old thing. And
I do think it does run a reasonable possibility of being a bad review, but I think it will make money.
I do not think it will make money. So you're
it's got Morgan Freeman in it, too.
Money,
I mean, everybody loves everything
bad
with Morgan Freeman.
Review.
Yeah.
I just, I don't know.
There's no way you're going to be, you just did that one as MM.
Make money.
BR, bad review. There's no, like, you know what's going to happen is you're going to translate all these acronyms in your favor later on.
No, let me explain to our listeners. At the start of the last show, when
are not your friend.
When we started the first part of this show, we decided we were going to keep track of our predictions for these films. And I have a sheet of paper with two columns on it, one with Eric's initial at the top, and the other one with my initial at the top. And within them, I fill in the letters of what I think the films are going to do. The first letter, or first two letters, indicates what the film is going to do financially. The second pair of letters, or second letter, denotes what the film is going to do critically.
So this one here, it says TT. What does that mean?
What's the movie again? I can't read my writing for the movie. I'll have to go back later in the note. I can't read what movie that is, so that's a bit unfair.
It doesn't matter what movie it is, right? What's TT mean?
Well, I'll know what it is when I know the movie.
Because you'll just revise your reviews.
Let me go back to what that movie is at the start of July. What was the first movie we talked about this show?
Hercules.
Hercules. I mean, I said it was just gonna be a nightmare.
Yeah, but what does TT mean?
Well, I don't know, but that means it's going to be a nightmare.
Like, let's just to read off what we've got here. On the first page, we were pretty organized. FYC, no. Financial yes. Critical no.
No.
Well, what does CS mean?
Critical sucks.
Okay. Then we go. Then we go down a couple rows, and suddenly now it's F arrow up, C arrow up. And then on the right-hand side for you, it says MB.
What's the movie?
I don't know. What does that say?
I don't know. I'm going to have to...
Yeah, this has gone perfectly.
The whole point is it's a code.
At least I know you. A year from now, you'll be talking about how, you went over them, and you were right all the time.
That's Transformers.
Okay, and what does MB mean?
Make money, bomb critically.
Okay, all right. That's that one you figure. Have you figured out TT on the next page yet?
No, but it's like a code, is that you need the key code, and then everything else makes sense. It's a primer. Have you ever seen Contact?
Yeah.
With Jodie Foster, and they're looking at all the pages, and they can't figure out how it works, and then they find the one page that makes all the pages work. That's how it works. It works as like a
yeah, but where's thing. The page that makes it all work? There's no other pages. We just have these two pages.
I know, but the name of the movie is the key to the code. You can't just look at the code and go, I know what he's saying. You have to see the movie, and then you go, I see. That's what he's saying. That way it means that these results are sacrosanct until we do our results, like, total up. No one can get in there and mess with the results. No one can go in there and mess with our reviews because they can't understand them.
All right, if you say so. All right, well, next movie. It didn't seem to be an Entertainment Weekly, but it's definitely coming out. I thought it was coming out this summer. We haven't seen a movie from him in a little while.
We always wanted to feel different. Unique. Objective analysis, however, concluded that we are but one in many single worker bees.
At least they use enlightened strikes.
Everyone's getting rich, except you.
What seems to be the problem?
We are dying.
Who's we?
Us, ourselves.
There's only one of you.
So it would appear.
Right, Quinn, how's it hanging?
Is it hanging at all well?
Aye? Sorry.
So it's Christoph Waltz,
whatever. Fear of death, fear of life, fear of open spaces.
And it's a Terry Gilliam movie called Zero Theorem. Terry Gilliam of 12 Monkeys.
And crunch it since before
Brazil.
I was
no, Brazil. That's right. I did a couple of those sort of Baron von Munchausen, Time Bandits.
Hanging out with Monty. Well, he is. He's a member of Monty Python.
He originally did illustrations for Monty Python. He wasn't an actor.
But he is in Monty Python.
Right.
He's regarded as part of the group.
American, though.
I think my address is incredibly ugly. My dad used to buy me these incredibly ugly clothes to keep.
So I don't know whether a prediction on this really makes sense, because there's no chance it's going to make like a ton of money or anything like that. But I don't know why it wasn't in the magazine. Maybe it wasn't in the summer. It does say 2014. Maybe it's coming out in the fall. I don't know.
Okay.
Do you like Terry Gilliam movies? I do.
You know, I must say I'm not a huge fan. I have to be in the right mood for the Terry Gilliam movie. I don't find them as easily accessible as other films, but I don't for a moment disregard how clever they are. I think he's great. I 12 Monkeys I don't quite like as much as everyone else. Brazil I don't quite like as much as everyone else. I do love Baron Munchausen. I do love Time Bandits. Yeah, but I don't for a moment. But I think it's a reflection of me, not a reflection of him in the films. I think I'm the one who doesn't get it. So maybe I should put my own name down and go double bomb, because I'm the one who doesn't get it.
Maybe see, there's another thing that's calling this 2013. So maybe it was in limited release and it's going to go into bigger release. Maybe it's already been out.
Then
14
it must,
March. Maybe it only came out in Britain.
Then I'm going to put for Zero Theorem, I'm going to put bombed, because no one ever heard of it. So I'm correct already. I'm already leading
this
for
the thing,
year.
IMDb says top 5,000. What does that mean?
That means in the top 5,000. But there's a lot of movies that are in the top 5,000. Some other movies that I've listed here as bombing, but again, I'm happy. I've got my predictions off to a good start. There's just dead air here while you play on the computer. Right. I know you're now obsessed with finding out when this movie comes out.
Well, I want to see if it was a bomb. Now that you predicted a bomb, I want to see if it was a bomb or not.
Well, on IMDb, just go to box office, and it should tell you.
I was going to go to Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
Or Tomats.
Hopefully Rotten Tomatoes. There you go. What does it say?
Ooh, right. No, this challenges our standards because it's a 54. So it's right in the middle.
Is it a red tomato or is it a green splat?
Don't panic.
It's a green splat. That means it's a bomb. We established this at the start. Every year when we
I didn't say it was green. I didn't concede that. I was saying better than average or below, or above average.
Every year when we do the summer movie preview, when we decide to make predictions, we always say we're going to go by Rotten Tomatoes. We go by Rotten Tomatoes where red is good and green is bad. And yet now, because you feel that the movie should be better than that, you want to throw out the independent system of jurisdiction that we have chosen to follow. You don't get to just disregard the law when you don't agree with it. On Rotten Tomatoes...
You don't get to just pick the law.
Yeah, on Rotten Tomatoes, the movie Zero Theorem has a green splat. That means it's dog.
We talked about better or worse than average, and 54 is above average. I'm not saying...
No, but the green splat is it. No,
I never said anything about a green splat. Average. You said things about... See, this is F's version. Is when he says something, he thinks it was agreed to, just because you said it. Well, I don't know. Anyway, I'm looking... Doesn't Rotten Tomatoes usually have the information on money, too?
Somewhere, yeah. I think this is a film, and again,
there's no consensus yet. So I'm wondering if this is.
Oh, it doesn't matter. It says green splat.
All right,
it says green splat. Green means it's poop.
Fine.
Is there anything else for the summer movies?
Well, we come the other the one, I'm not sure movies? If it's. We came under the real summer, but there's one other movie that I think is.
Well, let's do that at the end. Let's try, because I know that's not a summer movie.
Did we have something else to do? Because I'm not.
Well, no, I just want to. Let's wrap up some of our summer discussions, because I actually have a legitimate point to make before we play that last trailer. Okay. I'm going with A Million Ways to Die in the West as the biggest comedic hit of the summer.
And I'm already telling you that 22 Jump Street will beat
it. So we've established that. It's a summer full of comic book movies.
I mean, Godzilla is going to be the biggest big movie.
And yet, ironically, he's not a comic book. I know Spider-Man's already out. Do you have any thoughts? Are you a follower of the Spider-Man franchise?
No.
I'm not.
That's another one. It's just too many layers. In fact, I thought we were going to talk about it. I guess we got distracted. But it's just like the X-Men stuff. It's... So many things. And this one, they really did just redo the series. I think, if I remember, we talked about this once before. The reason they started rolling those movies out again is because when you get a license, you have to use it. If you don't use it, it reverts. And so they just started rolling the movies out a second time.
Yeah, no, Marvel's deal with everyone is we get it back if you don't keep plowing them out. And, of course, once someone's had a hit, you don't want to let go of it. So that means we're going to have another Iron Man movie shortly. And I think that the way they get – I do think these sort of all-star movies where they're all in one movie is one
That's
way
right.
you kind of get it. Out of it. Because
we use the character.
Is there any one movie that you personally are looking forward to this summer?
I mean, probably Godzilla in terms of big movies.
But little, is there anything else out there that maybe we've not talked about? There is one film that I'm interested in.
You know, I had another paper that had stuff, and I didn't bring it down here, so I don't.
There is one movie that I'm looking forward to, and we did kind of pass over it. We just said, yeah, everyone's going to go and see it because it's his last movie. I want to go back and want to talk about The Most Wanted Man with Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be very good.
I think that's going to be good, and I think in the middle of July, it's going to be the sort of thinking person's film. That
I think I really want to see Think Like a Man too.
Okay.
People can't catch my sarcasm.
That's Kevin Hart though, who's very funny.
Oh, you know what? Jimmy might be interesting. It's a Jimi Hendrix movie with a bunch of people. I don't know who they are. The one of the things they said about this is apparently the estate won't license all of his more recent songs, and so they had to go back to like early times, which is my favorite part of. I like late Jimi Hendrix.
But. There's a small film coming out called Filth at the end of May with James McAvoy. It's a British movie. It's based on Irvin Welsh's novel about a Scottish cop just completely at the end of it. If anyone's ever seen Bad Lieutenant or Bad Lieutenant with Harvey Keitel and then the Nicolas Cage one where the lead character is even more over the top, I suspect that James McAvoy is going to be doing a Scottish interpretation of that similar just cop who takes bribes and does drugs and does all kinds of things. So I'm interested in that. I'm interested in seeing the Philip Seymour Hoffman movie, not because it's his last film, but I am interested in seeing that, just in that, again, I think you and I both get into an age where, me personally, because I'm not a comic book guy, I have no interest in comic book movies. I am a sci-fi guy. And so maybe it's time to get to our last trailer of the day.
So this,
before we get to that trailer, for a sci-fi guy, I feel the summer is relatively thin on stuff that's going to interest me. What I mean is, I don't, if I go back in all seriousness, if I go back in my predictions now, I'm not looking forward to Jupiter Ascending. I'm not looking forward to, well, I'm not a Planet of the Apes guy. While I will probably end up watching the Tom Cruise movie, I don't think it's going to do very well. And yet, in a weird way, me personally, I should be interested by those stories.
I think you should expand your mind. I think that's the problem, is you want sci-fi movies that are the same as the sci-fi movies on the past.
There's probably some truth in that. That being said, in a summer of sci-fi, I actually think the biggest sci-fi movie is not coming out until the fall.
Yeah, November, apparently. I just looked at early November, but so it's not quite a holiday movie. But
as we have some time left, let's play our last trailer.
Sure. Which, by the way, it's a teaser trailer. I don't think there's a legit trailer, so this is really not very informative, but we'll use it as a starting point.
There's only about 5 seconds from the film in it. Yeah. The rest of it just looks like
stock music. We've always defined ourselves by the ability to overcome the impossible.
So that was Matthew McConaughey, who's, I think, the star, one of the stars in the movie. Christopher Nolan directed, so real director. A real director of these movies, anyway.
These when we dared to aim higher, to break barriers.
You know, all the clips in this trailer are like old things of new space travel and farming. And
to make the unknown known.
Man landing on the moon, Walter Cronkite, people at Cape Canaveral.
We count these moments as our proudest achievements.
Having fired the imagination of a generation.
But we lost all that.
Pulls into port for the last time.
Or perhaps we've just forgotten that we are still pioneers, that we've barely begun, and that our greatest accomplishments cannot be
shot
behind
us. Connie's sweating because he's really sweating.
Yeah. Because our destiny lies above us.
No.
Oh yeah, well, that's an old thing. Maybe it's another trailer. Who knows?
Christopher Nolan's Interstellar. That thing is apparently chock full of stars.
Yeah, it's got. I had the page open here 2 seconds ago.
Matthew McConaughey, Matt Damon, various female leads. I don't even know. Scarlett Johansson.
Anne Hathaway, Jessica Chastain of Zero Dark Thirty also. That's always a big launching point. What do we got?
And probably people from the Topher Grace. Michael Caine, of course.
Casey Affleck, John Lithgow, Ellen Burstyn.
Yeah.
Not much of names I don't recognize. So plot is, you know what the plot is?
I think it's about time travel, right?
There's that a wormhole, you know, like, and so, you know, we decide to explore it, you know, figure out what's on the other side. And so people go into the wormhole.
I want to make a general comment now about summer movies and the fact that movie is in the fall. Christopher Nolan, tradition.
It's probably too thinky, right?
It's an adult blockbuster. And I think you and I established a couple of years ago that fall has become summer for the adults. I think Inception did very, very well. But I think, I'm sure at some level, and maybe it may not be this at all, but I'm sure at some level, someone probably thought that if we did Inception in the fall, it would rake in money at an unbelievable rate.
Mm-hmm.
I do think at a certain level, you look at the films like the Hobbit movies now come out later in the year. James Bond has moved to the end of the year. That thing made $1 billion worldwide. If you're the studio working with Christopher Nolan, you're thinking, don't worry, you're bringing it out in the fall. You're not going to put it out in the summer where one bad week can completely torpedo you. And again, I think in a weird way, summer has now become, I don't want to sound mean, not popcorn entertainment, but even less than that. Again, we've said earlier, we sort of went off a little bit on a bit of a diatribe, how there are no cop movies, there are no war movies. There's nothing other than comic strip and very sort of straightforward Transformers, CGI effect movies. And I think in a weird way, a film like Interstellar, it's better off being in the fall. And yet ultimately, for this year, I think that's going to be the number one grossing movie of the year.
Well, it's kind of like in the summertime. I was thinking of a metaphor for it. Like, it's in the middle of a party, or everybody's all kind of frantic in the summer. And so, like, you're consuming the junk, and it isn't until you get past that season and everybody settles down and you can hold their attention and actually pay attention to what's going on. So,
This is one of the reason that, and we spoke a few moments ago, Spider-Man's already out. So, summer movie season now seems to begin in April. Was that was never the case 10 years ago. 10 years ago, you had to wait until basically Memorial Day, and that was the first big weekend. Now, basically from the end of April, every weekend, something that in the old days would own the marquee for about 2 to 3 weeks, it comes out, and then the next week, something else is suddenly going to the biggest screen.
You know why?
But tell me why.
Global warming.
Okay.
Summer's longer now. It's warmer earlier, warmer later, so now it's a bigger summer. I think I used that joke last year.
You did?
Yeah, I don't know.
No, it feels fresher this year. Not like the air in here. Anything else on summer movies then?
Nah, I think that covers
it. We've made our predictions. If you want to make any predictions of your own.
We've made predictions of some sort. We don't know what they are, but
if you feel the need to make any predictions or comments of your own, please tweet us at Atlantic_voice or comment on the website. Or just email us at AtlanticVoice@gmail.com.
Yeah, in fact, actually, so what I want to do, and I don't know if I'm going to have time before we put up the first part, but is to take these trailers and turn it into a playlist, because on our, as a Gmail thing, we can have a YouTube channel where we have our own playlist, and then somebody, we could link to that, and people could go see all these trailers. Okay. They could have the video component.
Would you do that? Because I have no idea how to do that. So if I say, yeah, I'll take care of that, it's never getting taken care of.
You just have to give me the information on how to sign in Gmail again, because I don't remember, meaning I don't know the password anymore.
Okay, that's fine. I won't do that over the air, because we don't want any of our listeners going in there. Hacking in there, and then commenting against their own comments.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you have anything to say about these, if you have any thoughts of movies over the summer, please let us know. I'm going to keep our predictions in a safe place.
You want to go over those near term and try to figure out what they actually say.
Don't worry about that. I understand it. Now, if something happens to me and you're doing this podcast solo at the end of the summer when you're reviewing our predictions, you could be in trouble.
As a part of your eulogy, I'm going to go over your predictions and talk about how bad they were.
This is what I thought of Zeph. He was an FHCS when he wasn't being a DB.
Yeah, exactly.
I still don't understand why the one complete word he wrote was smash.
Exactly.
This has been the Atlantic Voice Podcast Summer Movie Preview Part 2 of our special. We'll be back with our World Cup preview after this on our
something
next show.
Something World Cup related.
Something
anyway.
World Cup related. Until then, I'm Zeph.
And I'm Eric. Take care.
You've just enjoyed Eric and Zeph on the Atlantic Voice Podcast. For more, you can follow us on Twitter at Atlantic_voice. You can email us at AtlanticVoice@gmail.com. Or you can find this show and others on Libsyn.com or on iTunes. The Atlantic Voice Podcast, 3,000 miles of opinion.